Hey,
hey,
what is happening, Ralphalus?
What's going on? I'm not used to this Monday. We got a
right? Yeah, everybody in the club getting on a Monday afternoon.
That's right.
Hoping y'all are enjoying the beginning of your work week. It is a cool, I think, 56 degrees here in Las Vegas. I love it.
It's like that here too, man. Like I literally, Phoenix is weird. Like it goes from like 100 to like 63, like, and from one day to the next out here. And it does that every year. And in doing so, it messes up everybody's workout. Like I normally will try to run a little bit at the gym that I go to outside. That wasn't happening today. No way.
Not today. Well, it's about to get hot up in here.
We have
a special guest that we're here on a Monday to accommodate her schedule because she's got something happening this Friday. So without further ado, let me go ahead and get Salim Urbina. She is 12-0. She is putting her undefeated record on the line against Olympian Marlene Esparza. But Salim is a pure boxer. So let's hear a little bit about more what she got in store. One second.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here with you guys. I'm fighting this weekend, so I'm extremely excited. And let's talk boxing.
Let's go ahead and talk boxing. So this perhaps coming up, as I mentioned, Marlene is an Olympian. She's also a pure boxer, perhaps your toughest matchup to date. But what folks don't know is that you've been active in Mexico as well, which has probably a deeper pool of female boxers. What do you make of this particular matchup as opposed to anything you've seen before?
Well, we do know each other from the amateurs. I'm not an Olympian, but people forget that I have an extensive amateur background. I was number one in Mexico for many years. I competed international. I went to the Central American Games. I qualified to the Pan Ams. I did the whole international thing, you know. I've been around. I know my way around, you know. I've been developing quite well in the pros. I think that... I've been progressing with every single fight that I've had. I started with a promoter named Sanford Promotions. And, you know, they brought me up very well. And, well, I've worked my way up. Now I'm with Golden Boy. And I'm excited to, you know, fight Marlene Esparza this Friday.
Normally, the track from Sanford usually leads to a top rank. Normally, it's really worked together. Sanford's actually stepping out now and actually working with the Golden Boys and everybody that's involved with that DAZN, which I'm happy that you're going to be on that platform, which I'm so excited for you. Explain how that track went. You went from Sanford to Golden Boy. Explain how that process went just briefly and how you ended up over there and how excited you are to be there, because obviously it shows. They're also excited for you too. They're retweeting you. They're posting out. The matchmakers are loving you. They love what you bring to the table. But can you explain how that ended up happening, that you ended up over there?
Well, my contract ended a year ago with Sanford Promotions, and we couldn't come to an agreement. I'm very thankful for, you know, everything they did. They brought me up very well and, you know, gave me great exposure. You know, in Mexico, boxing is like church. Every Saturday night, everybody's watching boxing. So I was always on Box Azteca, which is huge for me because I have a huge fan base. I am Mexican, which is huge. You know, everybody wants to be Mexican when it comes to boxing. So I'm definitely blessed. You know, we just couldn't come to an agreement anymore. I ended my contract. We're in great good terms and everything. It's just, it was time to move on. And, you know, the opportunity came to work with Golden Boy. One day they called me to, you know, do a fight for them, and from there, you know, we continued working with each other, and then I was welcomed to the team, and I feel blessed because I really feel like I am part of the family.
Everybody talks about your boxing skills, Salim, but I got to watch some tape on you, and I also noticed your footwork, and I also noticed your power at 112 pounds, am I correct?
That's correct.
Where does the concentration on the footwork come in? And is it something that was a natural thing for you, or who helped you develop it?
Well, honestly, I'm that very, I'm very heavy on my feet. I'm very sluggish and slow, and I have a great coach. I'm married to my coach, Andrew Soto. He's an outstanding coach. He's a perfectionist. He got me out of my bad habits, my bad ways. He spent countless hours and days and months with me on my footwork. It's, you know, everything starts at the base, which is the way you're standing, your posture, everything. And he's worked with me very well. And I think that's why I move so well in the ring. And I'm able to, you know, adjust and get power because I'm standing the right way and my footwork's just in the right placement. You know, I give all that credit to my coach, Andrew Soto.
So not only are you personal with him because of that connection with Andy, but you weren't really had planned on going down the boxing route, right? Like you you stuck with it because of another reason. And if, for the fans that don't really know, how you ended up here saying, okay, I'm actually going to go for it. I'm going to be a pro. Can you just explain that for a couple of minutes for the people that don't know why you're actually a professional boxer right now?
Well, ever since I was a kid, when I first started boxing at 11 years old, that's what I always wanted to do, be a professional boxer. You know, I would see Christy Martin on TV, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you know, women are so badass. I can do it too, you know. That was always my dream. It was never to be an Olympian. It wasn't to compete international. That dream was something that came alive in 2013. I'm born in Mexico, raised here in Arizona, and I'm undocumented. I'm undocumented, so for that fact, I couldn't compete at any national tournament here in the United States. I have a younger brother named Alexis Rubina. In 2013, he won the USA Nationals. And, you know, that's when that dream came alive. He said, you know, hey, sis, let's become Olympians. The first brother and sister duo, you compete for Mexico, I'll compete for Team USA. That same year, my brother, he passed away late in September. And, you know, the dream was crushed. You know, he was gone. And I had the choice. I had the choice to, you know, just turn the page and give it up or keep on going. And that same year, I decided to, you know, leave to Mexico. I become national champion, and I keep pursuing that dream of becoming an Olympian for him and myself.
And Cece, I'm going to tell you something, Cece. When she was in Arizona fighting, like, we would get excited because we would be staff with the promoter, right? And then she ended up on the card early. Like, yes, yeah, she's going to fight on this card. And then for whatever reason, for like years, the opponent would fall out. We couldn't get the opponent across the country. For whatever reason, like, we were just so disappointed. And I know that she was too, because I would talk to her many times, like, Sulam, God, I was so looking forward to you fighting. Like, even like 4 days before the fight was supposed to happen, you know, selling 1,000 tickets, and everybody was so excited that she was finally going to be able to fight in Phoenix. Like, the opponent would fall out or miss weight or got cut or whatever the reason was, she was never able to fulfill that. And now that she's fighting in the States, like, we're all so happy. So, you know, like, we would travel to Cali just to watch her fight, you know, even though her fights were, you know, either ended early by, was, you know, taking care of business, or, you know, there were shorter rounds. We didn't care, like, to be able to go see her fight and what she stood for from being, you know, in an amateur, really just is a testament to her drive and her will. And the same with her coach, Andy Soto, which has been a staple of Arizona amateur boxing for a long time. I mean, this guy has already has gone to the Olympics out of the country, you know, representing Team USA, being one of the coaches there. So they have a lot of history. There's no giving up. And that's why her story is just unbelievable, man. It's like a movie, you know?
Yeah, I've talked to Ray Beltran quite a bit about his path to citizenship. And again, he's also in Arizona, and he was able to use boxing to strengthen his argument. He became world champion, and that certainly helped. And I think he just got his citizenship 2-3 months ago, mm-hmm. very, very recently. Is this something that you've talked to him about, and how are you using boxing to strengthen your case for citizenship, or are you?
Well, I came back into the United States. I left to become a national champion for Mexico without being able to come back. No, my family was here and I wasn't able to come back. And I came back with a sports visa because I was an elite athlete. I was really good. And I'm currently a resident. Ray Beltran, it's funny that you mentioned, because Ray Beltran is actually one of the very few first professionals that I met that, you know, he saw me jumping rope at Central Boxing Gym and he was like, wow, you know, también las mujeres pueden, you know, women can do it too, you know? And since then, you know, he's been a really good friend of mine, very supportive, always cheering me on, and I'm always cheering him on, and somebody that I look up to very much. You know, it's hard boxing. It's even harder boxing when you don't have the documents to be able to do it. It's something that, you know, you have to have a lot of conviction, a lot of strength morally to keep on going. And I feel blessed to be here in this stage. You know, I came here undocumented. Many doors were closed for me. I couldn't fight in the United States. Had to leave. I came back. Now I'm fighting on DAZN. You know, I'm with one of the biggest promoters out there, Golden Boy, and I feel blessed. You know, who would have thought this immigrant little girl would be on such a big stage, you know, fighting for a world title eliminator?
So on Friday, October 30th, the day before Halloween, you will be matched up with Marlana Esparza. But this, like you said, it's a flyweight title eliminator. What do you think people are expecting from you, and how excited are you to maybe throw in some surprises?
Well, it's going to be a great fight. Marlana Esparza is trying to bounce back from that loss that she had last November. And I'm wanting to stay undefeated and, you know, continue on to my next step to become a world champion. So it's definitely going to be a fight where we're both coming in at our best. I know that I'm the better fighter. I'm stronger. I have adjusted better into the pros, and I'm there to win. People can expect an exciting fight for however long it lasts, but I'm there to win.
One thing I like about you is that you're like me. You're very opinionated, and on social media, you don't hold back at all. You did an interview with Fight Hype with my friend Sean, and you basically were daring her to come at you, right? Normally, you're known, again, for your footwork, your agility in there, the masterful art of boxing, jabbing, countering, everything that Andy taught you. But this fight, you're basically saying, hey, I'm going to be right here. Come bring it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think she's gonna. I think she's gonna, you know, do a lot of the little amateur moves that she does, you know, like she did in her last fight. She would catch Sunisa with a quick 1-2-3 and then, you know, shuffle around smiling like she did something. It's not the point system. It's not the point system. You have to hurt somebody. So, you know, I hope she comes at me and she gives. We can give the fans a great show.
You mentioned that it's not the point system, and you have to hurt someone. Did you see Sunisa's last knockout? What do you make of? It's harder for women to get matches with other women who are on their level. The pool is just not as deep in the United States. And so, what do you make of her opponent being able to get that match with Sunisa?
Well, something people really got to understand is, how many fighters don't you see in club shows that they bring from across the border just to come and lose? Mm-hmm. How many? Like, it happens in every single club show, but nobody says anything because they're men. Mm-hmm. Now, because it's a woman, you know, everybody's outraged. Here's something people got to understand, you know, flight restrictions, COVID, you know, it's a whole different ballgame. She was set to fight Jackie Calvo, who's a great fighter from Mexico City. And Jackie Calvo ends up getting injured. I think Adkins was the last one that you know, was available. And, you know, at the end of the day, she was 5-0. And she's a grown woman that decided to take that fight. You know, if anyone's to blame, it's her team. Because her team should know that there's levels to this. And they shouldn't have taken it. You know, they took the fight. Sunisa did what she had to do, you know?
There's definitely levels to this. We say it every time on this show. That's why the show is called Levels, because there are certainly levels to this. You mentioned, so everybody's had to make adjustments during this COVID-19 environment. I saw you hit the treadmill today. A little cold outside for some road work, I understand. But what interesting training tactic have you had to undertake because of the COVID restrictions inside the gyms?
Well, like I said, I am married to my coach, so that's the lucky part of it. We get to, you know, when gyms were closed, we were working out at the park, staying in shape. I'm one of those boxers that believes in staying in shape even when you don't have a fight, you know, because if you're only training when you have a fight, then it's just fat camp, you know? It's just fat camp. You're just
welcome there to my
No. I have to attest to that, because every single day this girl's in the gym, regardless if she's fighting. You know, there was a stretch of time where it was like 2 years before she was trying to figure out what's going on, and every single day they were there. And I stopped by there many a times, and she was working out. And I that's why I have to say, I know that you'll never ever be in trouble with weight, have trouble losing weight, because it is constant with you, that you're constantly staying in shape. So I do got to give you that.
Ma'am, let me tell you, I have seen the photos. Salim is going to sell the weigh-in. Go to the weigh-in.
That was my next segue into the CC, because I know that you're. Listen, Salim, CC is a big backer of women and advancing in combat sports. That is her thing, and I totally respect it 100%. You know, we've always rooted for you here in Arizona to make your biggest dreams come true. A lot of people, not only are, I don't want to say outraged by this, because I don't mind it, because men do it as well, but the photos of women boxers and MMA fighters, you know, being in bikinis or coming to the weigh-in, you know, basically like looking like a knockout, right? So some people get upset by that and say that they're selling the sport because of the way you guys look. How do you feel about that? Because you and I actually haven't had a chance to talk about it. You know, your pictures are obviously amazing. You like them. You put them up. Everybody likes them as well. We have a couple other boxers that come on here regularly. The woman from Australia who does the same thing. And people give her
Ebony Bridges.
Yeah, they give her shit about it, right? And the thing of it is that now, too, she is going to be fighting for a world title with Matchroom. So, you know her. You guys are friends. You guys communicate well on Twitter. What do you say to that? What do you say to the haters out there that are saying, hey, the only reason they're getting these shots is because of the way they look, so to speak? What do you think about that?
You know what? I think the doctor that performs surgery, he's not wearing his robe all week long. When he goes out to, you know, dinner, a family, he gets to dress up nice. He gets to do his thing. He doesn't have to wear his robe all the time. The construction worker doesn't wear his vest all the time, you know? Well, I'm a boxer, yes. I'm training 6 days a week. If you see me at the gym, I look like a slob half the time. So I have the right to, you know, feel pretty, be feminine, and it doesn't take away from my skill in the ring. I know what I'm capable of. I mean, I was number one in Mexico for 5 years as an amateur, unbeatable. And, hey, my skill's there. You know, if I get to look pretty in between that, hey, it's my thing. I enjoy it. You know, everybody has their style. If you want to show up to the scale looking like a slob, that's on you. You know, it's my little getaway. I get to dress up before weigh in, you know, relax. It helps me, you know, make time pass by a little faster. You know, I'm a little thirsty and, you know, waiting for weigh in. So I sit there, play with my makeup, and I get excited looking and shopping for bikinis, and it's my thing, you know. It's nothing new. There's been women that have done it before, you know. It's nothing new, and people are always going to have something to say, but it doesn't matter, you know, because at the end of the day, once the gloves go on, all makeup's off, I'm respectful, I'm wearing my uniform, and I'm ready to brawl, you know. It doesn't matter what people say. I know who I am, I know what I'm capable of, and I know I love feeling pretty.
And I think you should do what you do. If I could, I would, and I wouldn't leave the house. I'd be walking around in that goddamn bikini all day. So, props to your sister.
Right. Thank you.
So, like I said, the fight is Friday. October 30th on DAZN. What time?
I believe the card starts at 4:15 p.m. on DAZN. I'm not exactly sure what time I will be stepping up there, but I believe I'm before the Coleman event, before Alexis Rocha and Rashidi Ellis. And it's going to be a stacked card. It's a very exciting card.
Well, we're excited for you here in Arizona. Not only just here in Arizona, but I know that you have a lot of fans nationwide. You're gaining fans every single day by being active, by being on our social media. I'm on it every day, and I appreciate when people actually answer back to their fans. Whether it's good or bad, or whether you give shit back or not, it's appreciated by the fans because they can interact with you. They feel special because, you know, you're interacting with fans, and that's one thing I love about you is that you're never at a loss for words. It's, you know, giving back shit to somebody or actually thanking a fan for following you. We love you either way. We support you and we're very happy for you. And I wish you all the best. Cece, I'll let you close it out.
Yeah, so, hey, get that DAZN app. You're going to need, I know some of y'all had paused or ended your subscription during the COVID, but you need to get you that DAZN app again or find somebody to help you get into DAZN on Friday. Do not miss this. It is a title eliminator. Both of these women want this win for a variety of reasons, and I expect it to be a good scrap. Salim, we're so happy that you joined us. I know you've got a handful of things to kind of fine tune as we get to your fight, but come back.
We'll bring you back.
Sure will. After this, if you guys would like to, I'd love to come back on the show.
We'll bring Ebony on with you too. You guys can both come.
Man,
awesome.
Bring the popcorn. Before we let you go, where can folks find you? I know you're active on social media, but where can they find you the most?
So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I keep them all very simple, at Sulem Urbina, just my name. And I do the very best I can to reply to everybody. And I appreciate everyone's support. And thank you guys all for, you know, your time. And we're going to be more than ready for the 30th.
Oh yeah, we're doing it. Good luck. You guys be good out there.
Appreciate right, you. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. All right, like I told you, she's amazing. The road doesn't get easier for her. It hasn't been easy, and she just keeps grinding. I mean, literally, there was a part where like 2 years there was no fights for her, and she trained every single day. Her coach Andy pushed her. I mean, they work well together. They've been together since close to 10, 15 years, I believe it's been that long that they've been working together. And I'll tell you, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good fight. And she sounds confident. And I'm excited. Yeah. I'll be watching from the bubble.
Yeah, I think because she's had just the 12 fights compared to Marlon, she has an extensive amateur pedigree.
Yeah.
And she can box. I see Sky Moore is now a fan because of this interview. So yeah. It's good.
Thanks,
we want to make sure. Get as many fans watching women boxers as we can. I love it, love it, love it. I love you. Thank you for watching. We are here in wherever y'all are in the middle of your Monday. Thank you for joining us. We're going to see you again throughout this week. So for Levels, I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sports Season. This guy is Ralph Velez, known as Ramblin' Ralph. He got some stuff coming up too. We'll talk about later this week.
We'll catch you in the bubble. I'll see y'all in San Antonio on Friday. See you soon.
Take care. Bye.